688. Oh, that will be glory for me. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me.
and then his wife will be back with us. Continue to pray for the Lord's direction, both for he and his wife and the family, and for us here at our church as we decide what God would have us do. The last time he was here, he accepted candidacy. So we need to pray about that and see what the Lord will do. Obviously, the last time he was here, we had a question and answer time. And I think most of us were pretty satisfied by the questions and answers that were there. We gave everybody copies of the questionnaire he already filled out so that those questions wouldn't be re-asked. And things went very well, I think. And so we need just to pray for the Lord's direction and what he would have us do in that regard, and for them as well. And obviously, I think all of us would agree that their hearts have been drawn to us and we to them so far. So we need to keep praying about that. And then there will be an evening service next Sunday, just so everybody knows, 6:30 p.m. And then the following Wednesday after that, not this coming Wednesday, but the following one is the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving. We always have a Thanksgiving Eve service. Have a good time of testimony and praising the Lord, and then we usually have a good time downstairs following the service with some finger foods and some desserts. So I hope you'll come and be with us. And then the one thing that's a little different than usual with that is Brother Myers is going to come up and be with us for that evening, and we'll have a small challenge from the Word. So looking forward to that. And looking forward to him being here this coming Wednesday night as well. So I look forward to hearing from him this Wednesday as well. All right, I believe that's all the announcements. I think some of you, we had mentioned that it was possible we were going to have the Lord's table today. We're going to delay that to another service. The heat lack thereof has kind of messed with that. We'll have that at another time. All right, I think that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. Let's take our books once again and turn to 696. 696. Shall we gather at the river? on the message. Go ahead and turn the page. We'll say number 697. My Savior, first of all. Okay, well, stand. Why don't we do so?
So much pain that he couldn't really sing, but I had played this song, and it was one of those songs that just kind of came out. I didn't rehearse it. It wasn't an arrangement that I had known before. It just kind of came out of my soul, and my Uncle Bill said, "Man," he said, I really liked how that song was done," and so I thought, I'm going to play that song today. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to play it. The song's Day by Day. It's number 529 in your book if you want to see the words to it. I'm just going to play it, and I'm going to try to do it the way that it came out that day. my dad was sitting in front. I don't know if you've been to my parents' house, but if you have, they have a big bay window in the front. And he was in such poor condition at the time that he spent most of the day in bed. And it was a real struggle to get him out of bed. And one of the things he wanted to do was to sit in front of this big bay window. And it was March, early March. The leaves hadn't come out yet. There was no grass growing. It was kind of an overcast day. And he'd sit in front of this bay window. He couldn't see out the window from his bed. The windows in their bedroom are too high. So it was kind of his highlight of the afternoon was to sit in front of this window. And we played this song day by day.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here. My understanding is they are getting, the heat is slowly warming things up, and so that's a blessing. And it's good to be here. And as I mentioned, Sunday school had a flawless trip coming here this morning. I've had some less than great travel days in the past, you know, when I've traveled different places. I've traveled some days. I remember one time I went down to West Virginia, southern West Virginia, and it rained the hours and hours of pouring rain, you know. And it made it so miserable. And then I can remember the time I was traveling up to northern PA, up around Bradford, up that way. And it was in March or something, and it started snowing. And the last couple hours, it just snowed, and I was getting really nervous because the roads were getting coated. And it got to a point where I couldn't see what, you know, you got to the point where it was covered enough where I could not see where I was on the road. And that's where you start to get, you know, this isn't good. I was so thankful when I pulled into that church. and we managed to have three, you know, the services on the next day. It was a Saturday, next day on Sunday. And I was able to, you know, after that, get back okay. But so always thankful for a nice travel day. Always thankful for that. And so it's great to be here. Do want to mention, if you haven't, somebody asked about one of my prayer cards, and I do have some with me. I do have my website on there, earnestlycontendingbaptist.wordpress.com, which is on your church's website. Most of you probably already know that. And I do have about 190 articles on there, and I write about a variety of things. And hopefully they are be a help and benefit to folks. And as I said, in Sunday school, my family, wife and daughter at home, are doing well. Some of you might remember they had a chance to be here, actually, I think twice. And so they've been thankful for that. If you would turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 through 4. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, then we'll have a word of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 6. Starting with verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left thereon, that at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Gershom said unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again, we could be here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life we have, the safety we have. And Lord, just pray now as we look into your word and as always try to make some applications. I just pray this message will be a help and benefit to each one of us, Lord. Meet whatever the spiritual needs are. If there's someone here that's lost, that even today they'll recognize their lost condition and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us that are born again, I pray the message will be a help and encouragement and a challenge for us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to focus particularly in this message on verse 3. It says, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? And, you know, we are, if you're saved, it should be your desire. It should be my desire to be doing a great work for God. And what I want to focus on and look at some of the hindrances to us doing the work. Now, in way of looking at sort of a background here, Sanballat was the governor of Samaria, and he looked at Nehemiah's arrival as perhaps a threat to his control. So he's one of these local rulers that was part of the empire here. And, you know, he looked at Nehemiah as maybe a threat to him. Tobiah was the governor of Ammon. And these were local officials, and they acted as hindrances to Nehemiah. So now, we have this historical story here involving Nehemiah, and we see what's going on here. But what I hope to do in this message is make some, as always, you know, well, this is certainly an interesting part of God's Word. I want to look at some applications for us today. Because always when we read the scriptures, even if it's the Old Testament, we ought to say, okay, what part of this can apply to me? And more often than not, we find something that does, and certainly that's the case here. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that they tried to get him to stop the work. They tried to get him to stop the work. You know, the world, the flesh, and the devil will always try to get us to stop serving God. That's always going to be the case, day by day. Just like every day we ought to be having a new day to want to serve the Lord. Because after all, if you're born again, you're saved to serve. That's what that expression is right. We are saved to serve. And you know, we've whatever life God gives us, whether it's a short time on this earth or a long time, we ought to want to desire the song day by day. Part of that day by day is, what are we doing today? What am I doing tomorrow? This is this is the first day of the week, Sunday, right? First day of the week. And so the early believers, because that was resurrection day, is when they started to meet. That's why we don't meet on Saturdays, you know. The early believers in the book of Acts were meeting on Sundays. And of course, that's proper. But what I'm saying is that, we have a whole week before us, and we ought to be, I think every Sunday is a great time to think, okay, with your help, Lord, I want this to be a good week to serve you. And so with Nehemiah here, you know, they tried to get him to stop the work. And the world and the flesh of the devil will always try to do that with us. Keep your place in Nehemiah and turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Here, of course, again, we're reminded about this world system. 1 John 2, starting with verse 15, says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." See, there's that difference there. If we love the world, if we say, you know, I think this world system's okay, it's not too bad. You know, there's some good things in this world system. And I am not, by the way, when I'm talking about this, I am not talking about the natural beauty of this world. Because there's much of that. God's made this natural world, and it's very beautiful. Much of it is. Where I live in a rural area. I think that's the right way of putting it. Okay. It definitely falls in that category. When I'm out and about, I have this, and some of you know this, I think I have this Amish kick scooter, right? So I ride it. That's how I'm trying to keep my weight down, by the way. And because it's a lot of exercise. It really is. You travel a few miles on that, and I've been as much as 12 miles on that thing, and you know you've gotten the workout. But anyway, when I'm riding that thing on back roads, and it's up and down hills, you know, up and down hills. So, by the way, it's a lot more fun going down them than going up them. A lot easier. But, you know, I was out, you know, and I'll stop sometimes and look at the mountains, because there's mountains right behind us there, and it's very pretty, you know, and any time of the year, you know. And right now it's fall still. And so, you know, that's the natural world. You know, I go by part of the Yellow Breeches Creek there or something, you know, and different creeks and things, and very pretty. But the world system, that's a whole different thing. The world system is this fallen world that Satan is the god of, small g. And it's not something we ought to love. You know, we should not love, because it says here, and going back to verse 15 of 1 John 2, it says, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see, if we're going to love the world, we can't be loving God. It's a choice. It's a choice. We need to make that conscious choice. Am I going to love the world, or am I going to love God? Now, as a born-again child of God, it's not a matter of losing our salvation. But if we want to serve Him like we should, if we want to grow in Him, if we want to grow more as a believer, if we want to be more of a spiritual child of God, we shouldn't be loving the world. Then look at verse 16. "For all that's in the world," and again, the world system, "the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so Satan and this world system will always try to get us to stop the work. Look, if you would, at Romans 7, 18. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, this is Paul writing now, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So Paul here is saying in this section of Romans 7 that he's a saved child of God, but you know what? He has an old nature that didn't have anything good about it. There's nothing reformable about our old nature. That's why we need a new nature in Christ. You know, what is it so often lost people try to do? They try to turn over a new leaf, right? They try to say, well, I'm just going to try to go on some kind of seven-step program and just sort of reform myself. No, there's nothing good in our old nature. That's why people need to be born again. That's why they need to recognize they're lost and need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then they're a born-again child of God when they do that. And then finally in this section here, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive thee. For if I have forgiven anything to whom I forget, for your sakes, I in the person of Christ. Lest Satan, notice verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, we have an enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Paul here is saying, you know, that we're not ignorant of his devices. He has a lot of different devices. He has a lot of different tools. And you know what? Just like, and I've made this analogy before, just like if you're fishing or hunting, you use different things for different situations, right? Different. If you're fishing, you use different baits for different fish, different lures. You know, if you're hunting, I know enough about hunting to know this much. If I was turkey hunting, I wouldn't do, you'd be having the same stuff if I was deer hunting, right? It would be some differences there. And Satan is very clever, and this world system is set up to excite and to encourage the flesh along. Our old nature and Satan's world system work together. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. We need discernment there. We need to be on guard against that. I was looking at this video about this person doing some touring through a war-torn, well, it was part of the old Yugoslavia, and there were signs saying landmines in the woods. I don't know about you, but I'd be staying out of those woods. I would be very cautious around there. They were left over from the old conflicts they'd had from, it was probably a couple decades ago now, but you know what? Some of those areas still had mines. And who knows if they're still active. But you know, the Satanist world system have set up mines all over the place for us to try to hurt our testimony, try to endanger our Christian walk. And so, let's go back to Nehemiah here. So Nehemiah is carrying out what God wants him to do here. In completing the wall, completing the gates, and so forth. And these enemies are trying to stop him from doing that. He's doing this great work. And notice, though, in verse 2, it says that Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. You see, what they say is, well, you know, we just want to talk. You know, we just want to have a discussion, you know. We just want to compromise. What you'd hear today in ecumenical circles is we just want to have a dialogue. But you know what? Satanist world system will use that. They'll try to say, well, you know, we're not really wanting you to stop the work, or we're not really wanting you to do, you know, to really quit doing what you're doing. We just want to talk about it. But he recognized that they thought to do me mischief. You know, Nehemiah showed discernment here. And that's so important for us. We need to be discerning. Because again, we'll have the subtlety of this world system. We'll say, well, you know, we're not really wanting you to stop what you're doing. We just want you to sort of tone it down a little bit. And that's what you see in so many contemporary churches where, yeah, they've got some sort of message, but it's a watered-down message. Yeah, they're preaching some of the Word of God, but they're leaving out a whole lot of it. And that's what you have. You have so many today that are not preaching, as Paul talks about when he was preaching to the Ephesian elders, they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. They're not preaching everything God's word has. Because after all, if you preach everything God's word has, then you're going to offend at times. You're going to convict at times. We're going to be challenged at times. And so Nehemiah here showed discernment. And likewise, we need to show discernment as well. I'm sure a lot of you, most of you, are familiar with the classic Christian novel Pilgrim's Progress, right? Many of you are familiar with that. And you know, that's an allegory about a Christian walks, what it's about. It's an allegory. And if you recall the main character, Christian, there were all kinds of different attempts to stop him. And they varied. They weren't all the same. There was different things. And likewise, we need to ask and seek wisdom from God, because again, Satan in this world system will come up with all kinds of different things to be roadblocks or snares in our life. And they'll be different things for different people. They won't be the same. What might be one thing for me won't be the same for you. Psalm 90 in verse 12, I think it's a good verse to put in here. Psalm 90 in verse 12, we read, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." So that's a recognition that we first of all have a limited number of days, and that we need to recognize that. You know what? None of us are going to live forever. You know, you say we may have the rapture. Praise the Lord for that. You know, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But otherwise, you know, at some point we're going to die and be with the Lord if you're saved. Praise the Lord for that. But we need to number our days, and then we need to apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, we need to be praying. One of the things I tried to pray for this morning, did pray for this morning on my way here, was for wisdom. I don't know about you all, but I need wisdom every day, because we don't know what's going to come along. You can't say, I know exactly what's going to happen. Who can say, I know exactly what's going to happen this week? None of us can say that. You know, because there can be all kinds of things, and all kinds indeed, and we need wisdom for that. And then James 1:5, we were looking at the book of James in chapter 1 earlier, looked at this. But James chapter 1 in verse 5, we read, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So, you know, do any of us lack wisdom? Yeah, we all lack wisdom. So we need to be praying for that, that God will give it to us, and that we can then apply that and use that in our lives. And that's what we see with Nehemiah here, going back to Nehemiah chapter 6, that Nehemiah obviously showed wisdom, that when these enemies of Nehemiah, and by the way, they weren't just enemies of Nehemiah, they were enemies of God too. These enemies of Nehemiah here that wanted him to stop the work, that wanted him, and we just want to talk, you know. We it's no big deal. We just want to kind of, you know, just sort of slow things down a little bit and go talk with us. And he wouldn't do that. Instead, you'll notice, let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 6. Notice verse 3. What did Nehemiah, how did he respond to this? In fact, we just want to talk, you know. Just come to the village and stop what you're doing. Of course, if he came to the village, he would have to stop the work, right? But, you know, notice in verse 3, he says, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" In other words, why should I stop this work that God wants me to do and come down and talk with you? Knowing, of course, that they didn't mean him well, that instead there was just a ploy to try to get him to stop the work here. And so you'll notice what he did. He sent messengers. He didn't go himself. So there's a principle there, and that's one of being of delegating. Now, delegating is where we have people that are perhaps under us in authority that we, you know, farm out some of the responsibilities to. Now, there's a balance there. And I'll tell you, we can go both extremes. There's people that won't delegate anything, all right? And that nobody can do it except me. And, you know, the bigger the organization gets, and this, by the way, can also be a factor in churches. It can be a factor in homes. The principle is the same. There are times where We need to delegate. Parents need to delegate things to children, you know. Well, they won't be able to do it as well as me. For one thing, they need to learn, right? That's the only way they're going to be able to do it, is by learning some responsibilities. Yeah, but they won't mow the lawn the way I mow the lawn, you know. Well, okay, but they can learn it over time, you know. So there's some people, you know, that just get to, you know, and I know of situations where, you know, as an organization grew, as a church grew, or whatever it may have been, that maybe they could get away with not delegating anything at first. But then as things got bigger and bigger, you can't do it all yourself. So he delegated here. He sent messengers. He didn't go, you know, and talk to them. He didn't go do it himself. Now, there's the other direction is over-delegating, where you just give it all out, and that's wrong too. And so there is a balance there. And by the way, that's where we need to pray for wisdom, that I delegate the right amount. And that's important, I think. And so, but I think we see something else here, okay, that in verse 4, you'll notice, yet they sent unto me four times after the sort, and I answered them after the same manner. So isn't it interesting, the first time they tried to get him to stop the work. But they didn't give up, did they? They didn't give up. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not going to give up after the first try. In other words, you know, it's not like Satan in this world system, you know, something, they try to lay a snare on our lives, and praise the Lord, we have discernment and wisdom from God, and we see that, and we don't give in to that. It's not like Satan in this world system way, say, well, I guess that's it for them, you know. I'm not going to bother with them anymore. No, it doesn't work that way. It's going to be an ongoing, continual thing. Just like Paul was talking about, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So the world and flesh and the devil are not going to give up after the first try. Just like Nehemiah's enemies here didn't give up either. They kept trying four additional times afterwards. And it's interesting that he answered them after the same manner. The thing is that determined enemies are persistent enemies. That's what makes them determined. They're persistent. They keep at it. They keep trying to wear. And by the way, there's a principle at work here, that the Satan in this world system try to wear us down. They try to wear us down. See, so at first we're really against it. Then we're a little bit less against it, maybe. And that's what happens sometimes with people. At first, they're really against something, whatever that something may be. But over time, they soften up to it. And, you know, we have to be careful about that, because if we soften up to something, then we start to compromise on it. And eventually, we may embrace it. You know, it sort of goes this way. At first, you start off with, I'm totally against it. Then I'm sort of neutral on it. I'm softening up to it. Finally, you embrace it. You know, that's the downward slope of compromise. And what we see here is that Nehemiah, you know, he had the same response, that he would not give in to what they wanted. Now, what this is showing is a word that we're going to look at a little bit more here, and that's the word steadfastness. Steadfastness. Boy, I tell you, if there was ever a time where we need to be steadfast in the things of God, it's the times we live in now. Well, you know, God's word hasn't changed. The principles of God's word haven't changed. We shouldn't change. And yet, the world wants us to change. The world wants us to move. The world wants us to conform, to be like them. But look, if you would, keep your place in Nehemiah chapter 6, and look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Pretty familiar section of Scripture. First Corinthians 15 and verse 58. It's a great verse of challenge, but also a verse of encouragement too. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, so writing to believers, right? Be, notice, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let me just stop there. So he's saying to these beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable. In other words, don't move. Don't give in. Don't compromise. If we could apply it to Nehemiah, don't come off the wall. Don't stop the work. Don't give in to what these enemies of God are telling you to do. Don't go down to the village and talk to them. And in our lives, you know, whatever it may be, those that would say, well, you don't need to be as faithful to God. You don't need to be as faithful to your church. You don't need to be as faithful in reading your Bible. You don't need to be as faithful in prayer, whatever it may be, you know, in witnessing, you can go on and on and on. You don't need to be faithful in living a godly life. It's okay to be involved in this worldly thing or that worldly thing. It's not so bad. Other Christians are doing it. Other churches are doing it. All the things you hear, all the excuses the world comes up with. But we're told, you know, if it was wrong before, it's not right now. If it was sin before, it's still sin. The principles of God's word do not change. And so Paul's saying, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so abounding in the work of the Lord, keep on doing what we've been doing. And he goes on to say, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, there's a tendency to think, well, you know, the things I'm doing for God, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's really amounting to anything. That's what the old man says. That's what the world tells you. But yet, it's not in vain. Whether we see immediate results or not, it's not in vain. It's like giving out gospel tracts or being a witness for God. You can't say you can see immediate, tangible results from that. But we'll only know we won't know until eternity, really, what the results of that might have been. At times we have been a witness for God. You know, the thing, when we pray for people, we pray for the lost, whatever it may be, you know, the things we may do in the church as far as activities and things, you know, it's not in vain. In other words, it has value. Vain means a useless thing. It has, you know, no purpose. No, it's not like that at all. And so we need to be, just like Nehemiah was steadfast and unmovable. He wasn't going to come down and talk to these wicked men. And you know, stop the work. And so instead, you know, he remained there and kept on. So like Nehemiah, you know, we need to realize we have a great work. Christian service is a great work, whatever it may be. And I'm not just talking about missionaries or evangelists or pastors, or whatever it may be. I'm talking about all of us. This is a message for all of us. You know, whatever it may be, whether it be, you know, something we're doing in our local church here, or what you're doing far as being a personal witness for the Lord. You know, and I realize that as of late, some things have been somewhat restricted because of things going on with the whole coronavirus thing and all that. But like nursing home ministries or whatever it may be. You know, Satan and this world system will try to hinder the work, but whatever the Lord would have us to do, it's a great work. You know, whatever we have far as, you know, just being, the Bible talks about being zealous of good works, just being a help and blessing for the Lord in helping people. It's a great work. And you'll notice as we get back to Nehemiah chapter 6 here, then the rest of Nehemiah chapter 6, the enemy switched from compromise to other things. In other words, again, they didn't give up. Look, go back to Nehemiah 6 and skip down, if you would, to verses 15 and 16. Nehemiah chapter 6, but now skip down to verses 15 and 16. It says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elul, in the 50th and 2 days. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that there were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. So, Nehemiah finished the work. He completed that wall that God had him to do. And despite the varied attempts of the enemies there to get him to stop. And I want to, as we wind the message down here, go back here, if I could, to verse 3. Going back to Nehemiah chapter 6. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work. so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? You see, again, Nehemiah recognized that what he was doing. Again, we're not going to be building a wall, a physical wall like that likely. But whatever God would have for us to do in our own Christian lives. Again, it might be in the home. We're talking about our Christian homes, in your local church here. In ministries you may be involved in beyond that. Your church, as your church supports missionaries, for example, and the part you have in praying for them and helping financially them or whatever it may be. That's all a great work. And Satan and his world system want us to stop that work. Satan and his world system want us to stop being faithful when it comes to, say, reading our Bibles and are in praying and being a witness for God and in homes where, wanting to have godly homes where children are raised in a godly environment. So all these things, it's a great work, whatever it may be. So just don't think to yourself, that this message is just a message for people in full-time Christian service or something. No, it's not. It's for all of us that are born again. Now, if you're not born again, if you're not a saved child of God, then you're not doing a great work at all because you can't be. You're not part of God's family. Sadly, if you're lost, then you're part of Satan in this world system. You're not part of the family of God. Instead, you're part of this world's family, so to speak. And the way for that to change again is for you to recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. So if there's someone here old enough to understand that, I would encourage you today. I would implore you today to recognize your lost condition and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But of course, the bulk of this message has been addressed to us that are born again. So let's think about Nehemiah. He was on the wall. His enemies came. He had the discernment to say, okay, these people want me just to stop the work. Let's just come down and talk. Can't we just compromise on this thing? We just want to do it. No. And so we need to likewise show wisdom and discernment like Nehemiah did and want to go keep on. And just like Paul challenged the believers at Corinth to be steadfast and unmovable, we need to likewise be steadfast and unmovable. And so as we continue doing a great work, let's not let Satan and this world system stop us. Brother.
Let's take our hymn books and turn to 639. 639. Work, for the night is coming. 639. to think about, don't we? We often get so bogged down in what's going on in our lives here on earth, and there's nothing wrong with that so long as we don't allow that to sidetrack us. And obviously we all have to deal with whatever it is, that the circumstances we face and the life challenges that come upon us, whatever those may be, because all of that comes from the Lord. But if that's all we focus on, we aren't going to get anything accomplished, at least of heavenly value. So, I'm challenged by that, and I trust all of you are as well, that our time is short. We don't know how much longer we have. And we see the signs all around us that the Lord Jesus is soon coming. And so we have work to do. Let's do so. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be here today. Help us to focus on you and your work while we still have time available. As we learned in Sunday school, help us to, in our daily lives, listen to you and your word, and do those things that you have commanded. And when we're dealing with people, help us to listen, fully understand the situation that we find ourselves in. Then, if there's a need to speak, speak, present a good testimony for you, and then react in a biblical manner, whatever that manner would be. Allow us not to be angry and allow the flesh to dominate. But if there needs to be anger, help it to be righteous anger. And as we learn now, there is a work that needs to be done, and we need to be focused on you. Help us to do so. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray that your hand of protection will be upon us through the remaining time that we have. Pray that we would safely reach our destinations. May we be back at the next appointed time to hear from you and your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.